You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That's me, baby. Welcome back, everybody. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, and we are kicking off at 3 on a Thursday night. So if you missed the first 2 hours, folks, you missed some serious radio fun. We had Hudson Hensley was here from the movie Song Sung Blue, a child actor who absolutely crushed it in the movie. And I said this before I even knew he was going to be on the show. I want to say, like, last week, that my favorite scene in the whole movie is him watching a video at the end of Hugh Grant. I won't spoil what the video is for or why it's happening, but it's just a very sweet, touching scene. He was really good in the movie. And we talked to him in hour number one. So check that out at civicmedia.us, where all the podcasts of Nightlight are stored. And then in hour two, we talked to director Jeff Blankenship, who will be at the Door County Film Festival with his film, Houston, We Have a Problem. That's next week. I'll be there myself, folks. So if you're at the Door County Film Festival, I will be giving the keynote speech on Friday night. And if you're there, check out some movies. Check out the beauty that is Door County. An absolutely lovely area and a film festival that has really found its footing and is just outstanding. And then we also talked to Shannon Simon and Jaroski and Hope Erath from the Pasabic. Names are crazy, Zomers. Pasabic 4-H up in Merrill, Wisconsin. And Shannon Simon is from Cedar Crest Ice Cream. They had this great contest. And in Merrill, the Pasabic 4-H'ers won. And it's called Hold Your Horses Ice Cream. And it sounds delicious. And you can look for it in ice cream shops pretty soon because that's part of the grand prize. So they got they made their popcorn picks. And we are going to catch up on some texts here in hour number three. And coming up in just a bit, Devika Girish. She is a great film critic and is the editor of Film Comment magazine. She really knows movies, and I was so thrilled to have her on the show. That's pre-recorded content, so the last half hour of the show, we will not be live. But listen to the interview. She talks about the Oscars. We talked about Sundance and just her process, and it was a lot of fun getting to know her. Aaron Zomers is sitting in tonight for Conrad. It's good to be in Act 3 with you again. I'm glad you haven't stormed out, done an actual mic drop, and stormed out of the headquarters there.
Well, you know, believe me, the only thing stopping me is the fact that this microphone is on a stand. It would be very difficult to drop it.
You could do a mic slap.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. That's not that impactful.
Get that out of your system. Let's catch up on some text here, buddy.
We also have a phone call.
We have a phone call.
We got Ollie in the North Woods.
Oh, God. I hope it's not a long distance call. We don't have that kind of money. Ollie, how are you?
I am good. I've got a soup for you.
Please.
It's chicken dumpling soup, homemade chicken dumpling soup with lunkers. And that's what we call the dumplings, lunkers.
Lunkers? That's an interesting name. Was that an ethnic thing or?
Well, it's just that they're heavier. Most people make, put like baking powder in their dumplings, but these we don't. And so they're a little bit thicker and chewier.
Wow.
Much more old-fashioned. And also then for a sweet soup, I like Scandinavian or Norwegian fruit soup. It's made with dried fruit and grape juice and golden raisins and cinnamon and sugar. And it's yummy.
Never heard of that before. That sounds outstanding.
My daughter one time went to school, and they had to do a project where they did something. And so her project was she made lefse and fruit soup.
And did she get an A?
She did.
I should hope so.
That's a lot of effort. That's fantastic. Ali, I knew you were going to call tonight because we had a food question, and I love hearing your comments on food.
And I can't wait for that ice cream flavor to come out.
Oh,
that
me.
Yeah, me too.
Delicious.
I absolutely love it. Thank you so much, and have a lovely evening, Ollie. Thanks for the call.
You guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Ollie from the North Woods, her phone calls regarding food are unparalleled on Nightlight.
Oh, yeah. No, she's always ready.
Always ready. Let's go to the text line. John in Oshkosh in the 920 says French onion all year long, not just a winter soup for John. Troy from Madison in the 608 says my homemade chicken noodle soup is the bomb. A little self-promotion there. Nothing wrong with that. I do like, I'll tell you this, Zomers, I love chicken dumpling soup. And I don't know if it's made with the, what did she say, baking soda or dough or whatever, but I've never even... I just think it tastes amazing, whatever those things are.
Oh, yeah. Homemade chicken dumpling soup is the best, you know. And yeah. I looked up Lunker, by the way. Merriam-Webster says it is a noun for something that is unusually large for its kind. So, yeah, it works. If she's talking about a big old dense dumpling, it is a Lunker.
I will say when she said Lunker, all I could think of was if I went to the Urban Dictionary, there would be something really despicable would be the meaning. But I'm glad you did that and took one for the team. Thank you. Jack from Merrimack in the 414 says, my favorite winter soup is my own refrigerator surprise chili. It's an award winner and it's cooking as we speak or as you speak. Good to know. Thank you, Jack. Great night for soup. Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, doesn't have to be winter, but my faves are lentil. Oh, yeah, lentil's great. And tons of fiber, too. My faves are lentil, minestrone, or tomato. You should only correct people when they say gazpacho wrong. Getting cold soup thrown in at you isn't as bad. Okay, fair enough, Monica. Thank you. John from Columbia County in the 608 says, hot, spicy Tom Young with shrimp and mushrooms and veggies. Yeah, I love it. God, Zomers, I bet it's been 15 years since I've had Tom Yum soup, but it is outstanding.
I've never had it.
Dude, I'm telling you, go down the street to one of those places on State Street, and it's so good. You're going to love it. It's got like a lemony flavor, I think. Maybe I'm thinking of lemongrass soup. No, I know I've had Tom Yum, though, and I love it. Thank you, John. Melissa from Willie Street in Madison in the 608. Hi, boys. Humble brag here. Make a mean vegetable beef soup in the Dutch oven. It's got to be my favorite. Melissa, outstanding. Would it kill you to bring us a batch? Just down the road, you can drop some off for Zomers. Would that be weird if Melissa showed up with soup?
I could go down there. I could go over by Willie Street. I'll pick it up.
I don't want to sound like, because she'd probably do it. They're so nice. Melissa also says the other half, that's John Murray, says makes an amazing black bean soup. I love black bean soup as well. Great stuff. Let's see, John, here he is, speak of the devil. John in the 608 says, evening, gents. Great show tonight. Thank you. My wife makes the best beef vegetable soup ever. They're obviously not conversing. But it sounds like they're listening to Nightlight in opposite rooms.
But they have their story straight, so they at least, you know.
Listen.
They're not lying.
Nothing if not honest. I agree. Makes you gorge. My other favorite is black bean with toppings like bacon and onions and shredded cheddar and a dollop of sour cream. Mm-mm, good. And I love a fancy restaurant French onion soup with a sheet of thick cheese on top. I like that. I like that less as I get older, but I always loved... Did you ever have it with Aaron with like the... It's like a cheesy hard bread biscuit or something that they put in there?
Yeah, something like that. Really I don't know. I've only had French onion soup a couple of times. It was very good when I did. But
yeah, it's awesome. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Curly's Calamitous Clam Chowder is yummy in the tummy. You know what's funny? I don't know how well you know Tyler Zomers, but like he, for a while, had the reputation of having very kind of risque texts. So to hear him, where he's obviously got kind of a mind that can go there, say, Curly's Calamitous Clam Chowder is yummy in the tummy, he's obviously a very complex human being.
Oh, yes, for sure. I've seen some of these other texts.
Yeah, and I apologize now. Well done, Tyler. Great to hear from you. Michael in Madison in the 608 says, hey, guys, ladle me up some duck soup. It's not just a classic Marx Brothers film. It is also a pretty tasty dish served with egg noodles, which is bested only by Colorado chili. Contrary to its name, it's not from Colorado. It's a Mexican stew named for its signature red chili sauce, Colorado meaning colored red in Spanish, featuring tender bits of beef and or pork. I, too, feature some tender bits, but that's neither here nor there. Love you guys. Thanks for the show. Well, thank you, Michael.
Took over for Tyler there.
Yeah, people, Tyler, and then the thing with Matt from Eau Claire, I still don't get the garbanzo bean thing. So you're going to have to explain that to me.
Okay, I will.
And I'll feel stupid. I think I have an idea, but my mind is not as warped as it used to be. And obviously not as much as yours or Matt's. Matt says, I love getting the LED. This is Matt from Eau Claire again, speak of the devil. I love getting the LED out, the let out, my favorite band, but I will concede to Pete's feelings on Stairway. Only after one takes in Hart's performance at Zeppelin's induction to the Kennedy Center. Oh, I was not aware of that.
So yeah, that was on yesterday's question of the night, which was about songs you never need to hear again.
Correct. But that one I would definitely check out. I bet that's, I love when bands cover other bands. Awesome stuff. Okay, we've got social media texts to read as well. Coming up in just a few minutes, folks, Devika Girish will be here. She is a film critic and the editor of Film Comment, and I love her insights on movies, and she will be here in just a few minutes. On our social media page, we got some great responses. Vince Maranto says, Progresso Italian wedding soup. Boy, when you're going canned soup, you know it's good. If you're picking canned soup over, like, the homemade stuff. And Progresso soups are pretty good. I got nothing against canned soup. Matt Cassane says, chowder. All right. Vague and beautiful. Love it. Jason Jerry, the Green Bay Llama, says, cream of anything. And then Vince Morano wrote under. Wait, what?
I said, careful what you ask for.
Exactly. And then Vince responded. They don't even know each other. It's great. Vince says, Jason Jerry, some young guy. Party on Wayne.
I was going to say, yeah, a good old Wayne's World reference.
He goes, Wayne's World. I love it. Thank you, Vince. And thank you, Jason Jerry. Daniel Francis Thine on Facebook says, my mom's chicken dumpling soup, or her pea soup, or her corned beef and cabbage, or her chili, or I think we get the point. Daniel's mom made outstanding soup. Well done, Daniel. Thank you. Amanda Nimmer, our outstanding social media guru here at WGBW and Civic Media, says, chicken gnocchi soup from Olive Garden. I won't budge on this. Amanda, we're not going to push you off your point under no circumstances. Have you been to the Olive Garden recently, Zomers?
I haven't been to Olive Garden in probably 10 years.
I think I have to go back because I remember it as being kind of a bland, like, where I grew up in Chicago, there's a lot of Italians in the neighborhood, and there was outstanding Italian food. My best friend's mom made great Italian food. There were great Italian restaurants. So going to the Olive Garden to me seemed like, why would I do that? But a lot of people love it. And now as an adult, I feel like I have to give it another chance.
It's probably worth it. I mean, I would go again. I just haven't had a reason to. I don't know.
And you know what I think we need to do? We need a Pete and Aaron pal around day that ends at the Olive Garden.
Well, you know, maybe we could do that tomorrow.
There's probably one in Green Bay, right? All right, we are coming back. We'll finish reading some of these outstanding texts. Keep them coming, folks. You've got a few minutes to get one in, and then we will cut to our interview with Devika Girish. We are coming right back after a very short break. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, and I'm going to tell you what they put in honey, and you're going to react really strange, and it might involve a kid. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's that called again?
A Taste of Honey by Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass.
Herb Albert, I always know. I could never remember the name of that. I love that, though. That is very apropos. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, folks. Welcome back, Aaron Zommers. Spinning tunes there in the DJ booth. And Taste of Honey is appropriate because this is from Newsweek. If you tasted honey by a certain manufacturer, I don't think it said who it was. Oh, yeah, yeah. A Carco. What happened is Cialis got into honey, and people were eating it, and then they were being arrested for indecency. No, I don't know about that, but a bunch of honey got recalled because the FDA found an ingredient in it meant to treat erectile dysfunction. It's a weird brand marketed as a way to boost energy. They tested samples and found the active ingredient in Cialis. Now, Cialis, as many of you know, are the people sitting in the tubs, I think, looking over a hill. I think if you take Cialis or Viagra, you'd want to be in the same tub, but whatever. I'm not a commercial director. It says a bunch of honey just got recalled after the FDA found an ingredient meant for erectile dysfunction made by a company in Virginia called Ecarco. They claim it's specifically formulated honey that gives you more energy. Well, yeah, duh. The FDA tested samples and found a drug called Tadalafil.
Tadalafil. Yeah, I used to work as a pharmacy tech, and I can say this is a very expensive mistake.
Really? Okay.
It's not cheap.
I wasn't going to question how you knew what that name was. It says you probably wouldn't confuse it with a normal jar of honey. It looks more like a medicine bottle and says energy support on the front. Just make sure you're wearing baggy pants, I guess, if you eat that brand of honey. Matt Harper says all of them at Bay Motel and Family Restaurant. Talking about soups, of course. And our pal Jimmy Cuska says goulash is a staple. Minestrone if I'm feeling fancy. Love it. Thank you, Jimmy. Have you had goulash?
I have. It's very good. All right.
We got to get to this clip. Here is part of my interview with Devika Yerush. Love her work. Do you have any thoughts on the acting? Best supporting actress, best actor, best actor, best actress.
God, can I just be a little catty here and say, please don't let Timothy Chalamet win this one.
Okay, I have not seen Marty Supreme yet. But
I have seen Marty Supreme.
Even though I haven't seen it, I'm not ready for him to win an Oscar yet either. I will say, I'm kind of pulling for Michael B. Jordan. But having said that, I heard Timothy Chalamet is great.
He is not bad in it. And I like the movie. I think it's a good movie. It's smart. It's fun. Yeah. I do not think this is the best performance of the year, and certainly not the best of Timothy Chalamet's career.
Okay.
I think this, I've really loved some of his earlier performances. I think in this one, you can see him wanting the Oscar. You can see it.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? It's good, but there is something about it that's like capital A acting.
Mm.
And I'm not rooting for him to win it. I'm sure he will have many more opportunities in his career to win it. I think Wagner Moura is actually, I love Sinners, but I think Wagner Moura's performance in The Secret Agent is really unbeatable in this category. And Ethan Hawke has always had a special place in my heart. I think he's a fantastic actor who takes on a lot of bold and independent projects. I just saw a film starring him at Sundance called The Wait, which I thought was just so great. I wouldn't be mad if he got it either. And I do think his performance as Lawrence Hart in Blue Moon is spectacular. Even if I don't love that film, but I will recommend you watch it for Ethan.
I will. That's on my list too. And I used to love Rodgers and Hammerstein's shows. So I know all about that backstory. We have time. Let's do one more. Let's do, we've got about a couple minutes. Let's do Best Actress. Here in Wisconsin, we have Song Sung Blue that was supposed to be set in Milwaukee. They didn't shoot it in Milwaukee. But I thought, and again, I've only seen a handful of the films. I'm deferring to you, but I loved Kate Hudson in that movie. I thought she was outstanding. Have not seen Jesse Buckley yet.
I have not seen Kate Hudson, forgive me. So I won't be able to weigh in on her performance. Okay. But of the rest, to me, Rose Byrne in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You is the winner. Renata Reinsve in Sentimental Value is also very good. Again, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You is a smaller movie. So I just don't know how many people have seen it, you know.
Yeah.
But it is a remarkable performance of a mother kind of losing it over the course, you know, of several days and dealing with apartment issues and child issues and work issues. And those sorts of performances can often be cartoonish or hysterical. You know, I mean, the women in crisis, the mother, being a mother so hard movies have been a little bit of a fad, especially in the art house world lately. But this is one where it feels both so realistic and it's so funny. And I just kept thinking of my mom's face when I was watching Rose Byrne's face. You know, like just something really, really hits home.
Relatable.
I think she deserves this one, you know, and she's never really been taken as a serious actress, you know, in the way that some of the other nominees are. I mean, both Kate Hudson and her, I think it would be really fun to see them win for that as well.
All right, we did that a little out of order. That entire interview is coming up after the news, and it's great. We talk Oscars and Sundance with Devika. Vicky Savikina says, Veggie, Jay Campbell says beef barley. Folks, that is the end of the live part of our show. We'll be back tomorrow night. Have a great night. Good night. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. It is great to have you here, folks, on this beautiful, chilly night here in winter in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide and talking movies. We are switching our show to talk about one of the things I like to talk about the most, certainly, as many of you know. Joining me now is a very talented, respected film critic and the editor of Film Comment magazine. She is also a talks programmer at the at the New York Film Festival. It is my pleasure to welcome Devika Girish. How are you?
Hi, Pete. Thanks for having me on the show. It's not very usual that I get to speak to the people, the cinephiles of Wisconsin. So I'm so excited.
Well, that was the word on the street, and we thought we need to rectify that. We need more Devika here in Wisconsin. So yeah. Your time is greatly appreciated, as is your knowledge. I've been looking forward to having you on. I think are you in LA or New York?
I'm in New York, and it's pretty chilly here too.
Okay, yeah. It can't be Wisconsin chilly, but chilly, chilly is chilly.
It's getting closer and closer, it seems, but I bet we can't compete with y'all. So,
well, okay, so tell us, before we get into some film talk, tell us a little bit about yourself as a reviewer, and then maybe we'll talk about a little bit of the work you do at Film Comment.
Yeah, I'm editor of Film Comment. Film Comment is a publication of Film at Lincoln Center, which is the film department of Lincoln Center. So it's a very matryoshka doll sort of situation. I've been working for Film Comment since 2019. Film Comment is, you know, even if I say so myself, the premier US publication devoted to film criticism. And so for Film Comment, I edit, write, commission, actually also host a podcast. So not my first rodeo on the radio. And sort of just shape the editorial direction of the publication. But I also write about films for other publications, including the New York Times. I've reviewed movies for them for a while, and I write a monthly column for the Times, picking out international films to stream, like new international films that people can watch on streaming services. And for the New York Film Festival, which is also organized by Film at Lincoln Center, I program the talk section. Nice. So I'm the person who, along with a co-programmer, along with the team, invites filmmakers and different artists to come together for a series of kind of curated conversations during the festival.
What a great gig you have. That is so fun.
Can't complain.
Yeah. So have you... What are your favorite aspects of film to talk about when you're hosting these panels or when you're working at Film Comment? And then also when it comes to reviewing, I've read some of yours, by the way, on Rotten Tomatoes. You're such a great reviewer. Well, let's go to the panel first. What are your favorite elements to talk about?
You know, film is special because it brings together so many elements, unlike many of the other arts, right? So there's like a technical, technological aspect to it. There's obviously an artistic aspect to it. There's a people aspect to it. Like it takes a whole village to pull it off. There's a whole economic aspect to it. I mean, Pete, before we went on air, we were just talking, you know, you were talking about how sometimes people write screenplays that just sit in a cupboard somewhere, you know, and never make it out there. So there's like a labor and money aspect of it. There's the aspect of, you know, how people receive cinema. And so maybe this is a cop-out, but I can't really say that I have a favorite aspect. To me, it's more in these panels trying to understand how all of these things work together. Because as a viewer, you're just looking at the movie, like this finished product, and it can seem like that just kind of grew out of the earth or something, you know, but like understanding that it takes so much time and coordination and so many different types of the arts working together, whether it's music and visuals and writing, acting. Yeah, I really love kind of getting into how all those parts lock together in a movie.
How did you end up as a critic, and then now what you do too, but like, was it hard to, like, how do you break into that? Were you a journalist in another avenue at first, and then you decide, I love movies, I'm going to write about movies? Like, it seems like that's almost, it's harder to become a film critic almost than a writer with a produced film. Like, there are very few film critics in America, it seems like.
Well, there are very few paid film critics in America, let's put it that way. You know, salaried or paid. It is definitely not an easy world to break into or an easy world in which to sustain yourself. So I consider myself very lucky that I was able to get a job doing what I love. I mean, I unfortunately don't have a very exciting story. I studied film in college. So, you know, I was a lover of cinema. Didn't quite know what I wanted to do that at that point. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I want to write. Maybe I want to develop movies. Maybe I want to work for a film festival. Maybe I want to do a PhD. But I'd also always loved writing, and especially writing for magazines since I was a child. You know, I was an avid reader of magazines. And so while I was in college, I started reviewing movies for the school paper. And I remember the school paper would reimburse the cost of my ticket to the local cinema. I don't know, it was like $5. And I felt so special. I was like, I have made it. And then I kind of, what happened was that I realized that writing about cinema allowed me to write about a lot of the things I care about, like culture, politics, society, history. Films for me became kind of an outlet to do the kind of broader cultural journalism that I think I'd grown up really admiring. And it became my portal through which to do that. So I was doing that. And then I ended up interning at Film Comment. Again, without like a master plan, it just was a magazine I read and admired, and I needed to do something over the summer, and I wanted to be in New York. So I applied and I interned, and that's when I understood that there was a real, there was this world, it's small, but there is a world of people who are all about watching, writing, thinking, showing movies. And so, yeah, I mean, I also did get a master's degree in arts journalism after that. And you know, freelanced for a little bit as well. And then landing the job was, you know, a mixture of all of that buildup and then pure luck.
Wow. Well, the luckiest people appear to be the hardest workers typically. So you've obviously put your time in, and that's great. My guest is Devika Girish. She is a film critic and works for, she is the talks programmer at the New York Film Festival and editor of Film Comment magazine. Definitely check those out, folks. She does great work. You just came from Sundance, I know. What was the buzz? What should we look out for?
From Sundance?
Yeah.
This was a very buzzy Sundance for many reasons. It's the last edition of Sundance to be held in Park City, Utah, where it's been held for many decades. It's been held in Utah for the, you know, since it was founded in the 1970s, then Park City for a large chunk of that. It's now moving to Boulder, Colorado next year, which is a location they selected after a big bidding process. And people were really contending with what that means and, you know, what it would mean to kind of lift this infrastructure, put it in a different place with a very different kind of community. And in terms of the movies, God, I will say, so one movie that I saw at Sundance that's already out in some places and about to be, so I mean, people will have a chance to see it in cinemas, is The Moment, which stars Charlie XCX as herself. I'm not a huge fan of like celeb produced movies about themselves, but this totally bucks the trend and is a really smart and funny and self-deprecating satire, which kind of stars Charlie XCX as Charlie XCX about to go on her brat world tour, and everyone around her, her label and her you know, managers and agents, everyone's like, how do we keep Brat Summer going forever? And so she's dealing with this pressure, and they decide that they're going to make a concert film for Amazon Prime about the tour. And it's kind of the concert tour is the concert film is being directed by a director played by Alexander Skarsgård, who was on SNL.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is about, you know, these different visions clashing. Like Charlie wants to maintain her sort of very brash and provocative identity. At the same time, she's like, I still, like, I got mass appeal after so long. How do I keep that going? And so it's kind of about the class of commerce and individuality in art, which I think is a very pressing topic right now. And it's just done with a lot of humor and wit.
Boy, that's a great recommendation. Thank you for that. So my guest is Devika Giddish. She is a film critic and the editor of Film Comment. We are talking to her. We just finished talking to her about Sundance. I want to move on because I know we don't have that much time, but what are your thoughts on the Best Picture nominations for this year's Oscars, Devika? Do you have, did anything surprise you? You must have been a little surprised about F1.
I was very surprised about F1, I have to say. I don't think it's a cut above so many other brilliant movies I've seen this year. So I'm a little sour about that.
What do you think is up there? How does that get in? Is it, it's like basically an advertisement for, you know, racing.
You know, I think there is something about, like, right now we're seeing a lot of, you know, the actors who used to be our young heartthrobs in the 90s. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio in One Battle After Another is a case, who are doing kind of interesting roles that also reflect on their kind of mortality or the fact that they're older. And I think Brad Pitt embodies that a little bit in this film. Yeah. And I don't know, I think there is a little bit right now of nostalgia for the old school star. People are just, you know, first of all, missing the good old days, guess why? And also just there's something really beautiful about seeing a star age, like George Clooney in Jay Kelly, a movie by Noah Baumbach. There's something like you are able to measure the passing of your own life, you know, with these people that have been around for so long. I really think Brad Pitt is the, like, is the secret sauce with F1 getting the nomination.
That's a great point. I still don't, and it all holds true, I still don't know why it had to be.
Can I read the minds of the Academy voters? Right. Absolutely not. This is my guess.
Absolutely. All right, so what do you think? We've got about a minute left, Aaron, before a break. Okay, so let's do this. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll come back with my guest, Devika Giddish. She is an excellent critic, and she is also the editor of Film Comment magazine. And we will be right back with her to talk more about the Oscars. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't want to be a producer. I don't want to be a big star. I just want to be a big shot director. I smoke a big Havana cigar. Make a groovy movie. Make a groovy movie. Make a groovy movie. Make a groovy movie. Make a groovy movie.
The Colorectal Cancer Alliance wants you to know a lot of things in life are preventable.
Ooh, gas station sushi!
That's preventable. And even colon cancer can be preventable if you get screened. If you're 45 or older, talk to your doctor. Go to colorectalcancer.org to learn more.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Thanks for being with me tonight, folks. Talking about the things in life we love, movies and TV and music and comedy. And joining me now over the stream from New York City is Devika Yiddish. She is an excellent film critic and the editor of Film Comment magazine. We're talking Oscars, and we talked F1 a little bit, Devika, and we both kind of agree it maybe shouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture. But what are your thoughts on the rest of the nominees? Do you have a favorite in that category?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you asked that question because I have a favorite that I think, I don't know if it'll win, but absolutely the best film in this list of nominees is The Secret Agent, which is a Brazilian film.
Yeah.
A Brazilian film by the director Kleber Mendonça Filho, who I've been following for a long time. I'm a huge fan. I love all of his movies. And it is very rare for an international film, especially a non-Western film, to be nominated for Best Picture, not just Best Foreign Language Film, Best Picture. It's such an achievement. Yeah, The Secret Agent, I think, is a absolutely brilliant film. I saw it first at Cannes last year, where it premiered and nabbed some prizes as well. It stars Wagner Moura in an incredible performance. Wagner Moura was also in I'm Still Here last year, which won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. And I think people here also know him from Narcos. He was in Narcos. And so he has a lot of familiarity with American audiences as well. But he's a phenomenal actor, and this performance is really stunning. And this film is, you know, it's set during the Brazilian dictatorship of the 70s. And it's kind of a thriller following this guy who's on the run from the authorities and mobsters. And it's just this atmosphere in Brazil of constant fear and paranoia, right? So even when there isn't violence on screen, you feel like it's lurking at the corners.
Yeah.
And he basically goes into hiding and goes to Recife, where Kleber Mendonça Filho is from, in northeastern Brazil, and stays in a house where there's a bunch of people that you might call as refugees of the dictatorship. And they're all living in hiding. You don't really know everyone's reasons, but this is the atmosphere. And so the film is this like thriller about him, you know, trying to get out of the country with his son, trying to evade the people after him, trying to keep up his charade. But what's also really special is that this is a movie about movies. This is a movie about how movies help us make sense of the world, how movies, you know, help us make memories, you know, especially in the last century. And so Jaws figures prominently in this movie. I kind of don't want to say too much because I really want listeners to discover it for themselves. But there's homages to Westerns, to, 60s and 70s Brazilian films, to Hollywood blockbusters that were screening in Brazil in the 1970s, and a lot of the action takes place around a cinema, which no longer exists in Recife. Yeah,
I'm so anxious to see that movie, and I live in a small town. I don't have access; it's not streaming yet. But I love movies that were shot in the 70s as well. It's just so great. Okay, so that's the one you want to win, but realistically, I know that's kind of a long shot. As much as everybody seems to love the film, you go Sinners or One Battle After Another? Do you think it's between those two?
I do think it's between those two. Off those two, I would choose Sinners, which I also think is like a fantastic film and a great example of a blockbuster, mass entertainment film that's also intelligent and creative and political. I had a blast. I do think the odds right now are stacked in favor of One Battle After Another.
Really? Wow.
Based on how the Globes have gone, how the Critics Awards have gone, you know, both sides of the coast. And One Battle came out later. I mean, there's often recency bias with these things. And it just came out with like just these, you know, strong word of mouth, like raves from all these people in the film industry, you know, just raving reviews. I think it's going to kind of ride that wave to the statuette.
Wow, that's interesting because, you know, as we know, Sinners broke the record for the most nominations. And I agree with you. I think Sinners has no weak link. It's set design, music, acting. It's got everything. But I would say as a viewer, I liked One Battle a little bit more. I love them both. But I'm kind of pulling for Sinners just because of that. And either way, it's a first-time director winning. So I've had other critics on that said they might split the award. Somebody might give it to the movie. Somebody might give it to the director. Do you have an opinion on that?
That is possible. Yeah. I think Sinners is going to take home several awards. I am doubtful that it will take home Best Picture. There is a chance that it could take home Best Director. Paul Thomas Anderson has won a lot of those too in all the you know preceding awards. I think, and I'm actually not as enamored of One Battle After Another as a lot of people. I actually think Sinners is the most deserving one, but you know, One Battle was shot on 70 millimeter, was shot on VistaVision, a format that no long like hasn't really been used in a long time. I mean, even if I didn't think the film was better than Sinners, it was stunning to watch. And there's a lot of ways in which I just think it has the elements that Oscar voters are more likely to sort of fall for, or you know, than Sinners, which is so fun and amazing, but it's a little bit like prickly too. You know, it changes form. It gets at some like historical political commentary that some people I think were like, I don't know what this is. This doesn't make sense. Like,
all the more reason. That's what I like about it, though. That's one of the reasons I would lean towards Sinners.
I agree.
Boy, we need next time, if we can do it, let's do an hour with you. I love how passionate you are about film and cinema, and it was so great to get to know you. So I hope we can do this again and keep up the great work at Film Comment, the New York Film Festival, and all your reviews. Just great work.
Thank you so much, Pete. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. That's Devika Gidish. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight, including Hudson Henley from Song Song Blue, and Jeff Blankenship, the director, Cedar Crest Ice Cream, Shannon Simon, Ann Jaroski, and Hope Era. Thank you for all your calls and texts. Another fun night on Nightlight. Thank you, Aaron Zommers, for sitting in for the kid, Conrad Krieger. We will be back tomorrow night to do this all over again. Good night, Scott.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.